God is a spirit, Brother James. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I'm thankful that I'm on the winning side. We can drive, anybody wants to go with me, we can drive about 50 minutes up north and I can take you to the place. Lord, save me. It's 635 Beatrice Drive, Dayton, Ohio. The Lord arrested my soul. And convict me and convinced me and converted me when I obeyed the doctrine of Christ. Amen. And I'm thankful for that this morning. All right, we know this is a King James Bible church, so I don't have to say anything about that. So just take your King James Bible this morning. Right. None other. The Word of God. Is that right?
Right.
It'll stand when the world is on fire. And I really liked the questions that Brother Donald asked the Powell family last night. And I believe he was just right on point when he asked about the King James Bible, which he knew Brother James believed that, but he just asked him, wanted to hear it out of his own heart. And I like what he asked his wife. And so I just appreciate Brother Donald last night, what he asked your wife. Wanted to hear her testimony. Amen. Her born-again experience. And if she was willing to pull up and leave her family, if God spoke to you to go out west. I'm just thankful to be here this morning. All right, take your King James Bible. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is what the Lord has laid on my heart. And death has been mentioned several times in this service. And that's what the Lord's laid upon my heart. Death will seal who and what you really are. Death will seal who and what you really are. If you'd like to stand and reverence God's word, that would be fine. I was taking care of a church, Brother Mark, and they like to stand and reverence God's word. They have a custom of standing and reverencing God's word. And I said, well, that's fine that you have a custom that you stand and reverence God's word, but it will not benefit me and it will not benefit you if you don't reverence God's word with your life. Amen. We get religious. And we get in these religious sets, and I'm telling you, if you don't honor God's word with your life, it doesn't benefit you. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, you pray for us. This should be familiar scripture. Verse 6, Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. He said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. There was a crown laid up for him. And he said, the Lord will give it to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. One more time. Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. Said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Pray with us this morning, would you? Lord God, we thank you for another privilege and honor of being here this morning. And God, I really need your touch. Lord, I really need you to breathe on me this morning, Lord, that you would empower me to preach your word. God, I'm a failure, Lord. I'm a man at best, nothing but a failure. And God, Lord, I really need you this morning for you to slip me on like a glove. And God, your people are here this morning, and they need a fresh touch. They need you to breathe on them, Lord. Breathe on us this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd make preaching easy on me this morning. And God, that you'd breathe on me and the congregation and those, Lord, that have never been saved by your marvelous grace. My God, I beg and I plead for you to draw them, Lord, to the altar of repentance. They'll fall out with sin and fall in love with you. God in heaven, please help me this morning, and I'll thank you and give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' precious name, the church said,
amen.
Amen. We've been in church approximately almost an hour. And worldwide, over 6,300 people already kicked the bucket. Already. In one day, worldwide, in a 24-hour period, over 151,000 people die and leave this world. And many leave this world in fear. Many leave this world with regrets. Let me say that again. Many leave this world with fear. Many leave this world with regrets. There's saints of God that have left today with regrets in their life. But Paul was a man that was ready to face death. He didn't have any regrets. He had a clear conscience. Brother Joe, he said, I know that I fought a good fight. He said, I know that I've kept the faith. He said, I know that I've finished the course that God has lined out for me. He said, I'm ready to die. I am looking, waiting, and anticipating the coming of the Lord. Paul was ready to go. And death, my friend, will seal who and what you really are. There's many things that are uncertain in this life, Noah. Many things. But it is certain that you and I have, we're going to die. And the skin worms will devour our flesh. Oh, yes. We're going to face a holy and a righteous God. And I know Amos was talking to the people of God, Israel, but God is still speaking today. Prepare to meet thy God. There's preparations to be made on this side of the river. Many things are uncertain. Many things. But you will die. Amen. Breath will go out of your body for the last time. And you will face God for yourself and not another. But this man was prepared to die because his assurance was in his Redeemer. Amen. His assurance was in his Redeemer. He was free from doubt. Brother Mark Stover, I don't think that I'm saved. I don't hope that I'm saved. I'm like that little lady right there. I know that I'm saved. I can take you to the place. Hey, where the Lord spoke peace to my soul. And Paul was ready to be offered. He was ready to die. This man had an out-of-body experience. This man was taken into the third heaven. This man seen the glorified Christ. He wasn't afraid to die. He said, oh, death, where's thy sting? He wasn't afraid being put in the grave. And by the way, that is biblical for a saint of God. Oh. Hey, can I get an amen on that? He said, oh, grave, where's your victory? Hey, oh, grave, where's your victory? This man wasn't afraid to die. This man, hey, wasn't afraid of the unknown. Amen. This man was on his way out of here, and he wrote this personal letter to his son, amen, Timothy. And the first thing that he told him, Brother Eddie, in the first chapter, in the very first verse, he said, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. See, the scripture teaches us those that are saved. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. This is the true God, which is eternal life. And the scripture teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. Oh, the Hebrew writer, amen, he assured us that we have a strong consolation, that our God cannot lie. Oh, I'm looking at a bunch of liars, and you're looking at a liar. Amen. I come out of my mother's womb speaking lies. Amen. But thanks be to God, I serve a true and a living and a holy and a righteous God that promised me eternal life. And I have his promises. Amen. And his promises are steadfast. I have a strong consolation that when I cross the river, I will not cross it alone. He'll be there to guide me across the river. I'm going to die. And I'm okay with that. I see death day in and day out. And I deal with hurting families. How death comes in unwelcomed. Amen. Death is an enemy. Amen. It comes in unwelcomed and families are tore apart. There was a young man around my age, and death come in his home, and amen, and took him out, and he left a wife, and he left three young children. He left them behind. He left them behind. You're going to leave your family, Brother Jason, but what are you going to leave them when you go to God's big God? What are you going to leave behind? Are you going to leave a testimony that you love God and you please God and you walk by faith and you didn't doubt God? You took him at his word and you loved him and you lived for him and you went to your grave with a job well done. Are you going to die with regrets? Are you going to die being out of the will of God? Or are you going to die, Brother James, with a job well done? Now I know without a shadow of a doubt I started out right. I know that. My birthright was biblical. Oh, I mean biblical. Amen. Many people claim to have experiences, but I'll tell you this morning, if your experience doesn't line up with the Word of God, it was just an experience, but my experience was a born-again experience lined up with the King James Bible of the Word of God. Oh, the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching, and I save them that believe. You will not get saved until a real man of God crosses your path and confronts you with the Word of God and demands you to repent of your sin and trust Christ, who becomes sin, who knew no sin, that you and I might be made righteous in the sight of God. You won't get talked in. You won't get walked in, sung in. If you get in the family of God, you'll get preached in. Now I'm preaching to the right crowd, ain't I? Before the foundation of the world, Titus chapter 1, God promised us eternal life. Oh, yes. He said, according to the faith of God's elect. And he said, God promised it. But how did he manifest it? Through preaching. Oh, does anybody hear me this morning? Oh, his assurance was in his Redeemer. Jesus Christ is the true and living God. He said, before Abraham was, some of my favorite scripture. John chapter 1, verse 1. And folk deny his deity and say that he wasn't God. I try not to do it, but something deep down in my heart, I doubt whether they're saved or not. And I know that's tight, but it is right. I've got dear friends that I've yoked up with, and I just want to tell myself that they're just ignorant, that they really don't believe that. I'm like, my God, how can you deny, amen, that he was God the Son? Oh, in him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, Philippians 2 and 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of servant, and was made the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, that's good preaching, man. I feel the Holy Ghost. I got more liberty tonight than I did last night. Whew. My God. Even the death of the cross. Went to the cross. I'm not disrespecting you, Faulkner. He went to that cross for your stinking sorry hide. I ain't disrespecting you, young man. He's born just like me. He's sinners by birth, choice, and practice. And I'm not offending anybody. I'm a Bible preacher. And I'm going to quote a scripture, and this ticks off religious people. It's okay to say that you're sinners by birth, choice, and practice. But when you say what I'm getting ready to say, it ticks off religious people. Job said in Job 11, he said, though vain man would be born wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. Oh, born like a wild ass's colt. Amen. I mean rebellious and, amen, and ungodly and unholy, filthy and dirty, yet God the Father will commend his love towards you and I through Christ Jesus, and he allowed him to die in your sin, in my sin, that God would accept us. We're not accepting him. He's accepted us. Hey, has anybody heard me this morning? Hallelujah. My God. 1 John 5 and 7. Every so-called Bible, it's a perversion. They take out 1 John 5 and 7. There's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Every perversion after the King James Bible, they tamper with 1 Timothy 3:16. Not being mean, some of you don't even know what 1 Timothy 3:16 is, so I'll tell you. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. Amen. Believed on in this world and received up into glory. Amen. Let's go right back to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what separates us from the Muslims. That's what separates us from the Catholics. That's what separates us from the Jehovah's Witnesses. That's what separates us from the Mormons. That's what separates us from the world. Hallelujah. That God would die for the sins of humanity. That blood that he shed, Brother Joe Carpenter, wasn't tainted blood. Peter said it was precious blood. Amen. And Luke said, not only what, hey, Peter said it was precious. Hey, amen. And Luke said it was God's blood. Oh! Amen. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. You know what that means? He had a body like ours, but it was sinless. Amen. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Amen. He was God. Mary had a little baby. He was 100% man, but he was 100% God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same as the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was anything that was made. In Him was life. And the life is the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness. So listen. And the darkness comprehended it not. We have to stop right there. I preached a lot just to get to this point. Brother James, that's why I counted it a privilege to ordain you last night. Because I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that my people, your people, our family, our friends, our enemies, they can't get saved unless they hear a real man of God. That's why you better be careful what you say about the man of God. You better be careful how you treat the man of God and treat his wife. You better be careful what you say about your pastor in front of your family, in front of your enemies, in front of your people, because he's got the message that can get them out of sin.
Amen.
Some of you have discredited Jason Faulkner with your people because you won't quit running your long tongue.
Right.
And it's important. God has set it up that way. And that's why Satan wants to use you to destroy and discredit the man of God. Because he's the go-between. He stands between the living and the dead. Brother Mark Stover, the preacher couldn't save you. But you couldn't get saved without him. Oh, is that right? Brother King James, that's right, isn't it? Preacher can't save you, Jason Faulkner.
Nope.
But you can't get saved without him. The law of God cannot justify you. The law of God cannot declare you righteous. But you can't get saved without it. Amen. Oh, listen, you can't get saved without the law. You can't get saved without the man of God. Because if the man of God's right, amen, he'll rear back. And before he tells you about Christ, his finished work, he'll rear back and make you feel your sin, that you're wicked and abominable in the sight of God. I'm going to say something. It's going to make some of you mad because I'm going to stop before I finish it up. Somebody's going to be mad at me because I'm going to stop, but you better just hear me out. You've heard all your life that God hates sin and loves the sinner. That's wrong. I'm going to stop a minute. Some of you's like, where's he going? God hates the sin. And he loves the sinner in Christ. Amen. You're leaving off the most important, amen, person, the God of glory. Amen. He does hate the sin and he loves the sinner in Christ. Outside of Christ, you're under his wrath. Outside of Christ, you're an enemy. And if you die outside of Christ, God will have no problem putting you in hell. Hallelujah. God will have no problem allowing you to burn and burn forever under his righteous indignation because of your rejection of the cross of Christ. So the darkness comprehended it not. Can comprehend the light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light. He was not that light, but that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world Knew him not. And as I said last night, I think the two greatest words in the Bible are "but God." Amen. Nobody but God could love us, but he loves us in Christ. Are you understanding that? Amen. Because we miss it, Brother Jason Faulkner. Because it's not about Mount Zion. It's not about Jason Faulkner. It's not about Mark Fields. It's not about the Stovers. It's not about the Taubes. It's about the God man. It's all about Christ. When everything's said and done, he'll be the capstone. He'll be the one that will receive all the glory, all the accolades, all the praise. He earned that name that was above every name through his suffering. I'll go back to verse 12 in a minute, but let's jump back to Philippians chapter 2, where he became obedient unto death. Then God said, "Wherefore, in light of the fact that my son pleased me and honored me," he said, "Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which above every name, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You're going to reject God's gift, his love that's in Christ. You die outside of Christ without truly repenting of your sins and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. You mark it down, you will stand in the face of a holy and a righteous God, and there'll be no mercy for you. His eyes will be a flame of fire, and he'll look down at you in an angry voice. Amen. In an angry voice, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Saddest words in that Bible. When the Lamb of God will look at folk, Noah, and say, I never knew you. I don't care who your daddy was. I don't care who your mama was. You did not make over my son, and you're doomed, and you're going to go to hell in a church pew.
Right.
I'm just being honest. I don't know where they stand with God. If Noah's saved by the grace of God, this is not bothering him one bit. If you're saved by the grace of God, me preaching in your face will not bother you, because I can't shake you of your salvation. If you're saved, I can't shake you. But if you're not saved, you're going to burn it up. Hallelujah. God's keeping me on them two young men. I don't know why. I don't know where they stand with God. But I'll say this. If they're saved, me preaching in their face shouldn't shake them one bit. As much as I love my dear friend, Brother Field, I can get in his face and spit all over him, tell him what I just told them young men, wouldn't shake him one bit. Brother Josh, would it shake you? Shouldn't shake you, Jason. Amen. Brother King James, if I come over and preach that in your face, would that shake you? Amen. Won't shake me. You can get up and preach hell hot. Amen. You can preach Christ as the only way, and he is. Amen. You can get down in my face and tell me that you've got to repent for yourself, trust Christ for yourself. I'll shout in your face, because the old account is settled. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a saint of God. I am a saint because of what Christ done. The Catholics teach you got to do some big achievement, become a saint. Noah, you're looking at a saint. Right here. Saint Talby. Through the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking at a saint. Looking at a saint, looking at a saint, looking at a saint. Bless God, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're a saint. And bless God, thank God, I know that song. When the saints go marching in, thank God, I'll be in that number. When the saints go marching in. The promise of life is in Christ Jesus. Not afraid to die. My outer man gives me fits every now and then. You know why? Because I don't kill him like I'm supposed to. If I keep him dead, he don't give me no problems. Amen. You know what my problem is? It's not the devil. It's not my wife. It's not my children. Amen. I talk to Dax every now and then. Amen. That's my problem. Amen. I don't know what your problem is, but amen. This is my problem right here, and I've got to remind myself that I died a long time ago, that I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. I'm dead, and my life is in Christ and God. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost reminds me, and it's a shame that he has to remind me, when I can't keep in my mind. So you know what remember means? To keep in mind. That's what it means. Just to keep in mind what the Lord's done for you, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. See, the promise of life, friend, is in Christ. I wouldn't mislead you, Noah. I wouldn't mislead anybody in this church for nothing. I'm going to have to stand and give an account for the deeds I've done at the judgment seat of Christ. But I'll tell you what, there's one thing that I know just like Paul knew. I will not give an account for proselyting people and telling them they're saved when they're not. There's a lot of preachers, if they're even saved, they're going to give an account. Amen. We're dealing with sinners. Amen. When there's only supposed to be one auto worker. We don't need auto workers in the church. We need one auto worker of the Holy Ghost. And when he's working the order, sinners will get in and they'll stand. Amen. Hey, there was a church, believe it or not, believe this or not, begging me to pastor them. Was, believe that or not, Sister Tammy. Most people hate me. They do. I'm thankful that your husband loves me. I don't have many preacher friends that love me. I really don't, Jason. I really don't have many preacher friends that love me. Brother Eddie let me preach, but God still opens up doors, and I'm preaching almost every weekend, and I'm preaching to people that don't even like me. Amen. Oh, and this church was begging me. The deacon was begging me, Eddie. You know why? He said, man, you preach sound doctrine. And he said, I know it's a little straight and a little tight, but he said, that's what we need at this little church. So I kept preaching and hammering. I got a call last week. Called me on the phone, Brother Eddie. And we parted on good terms. We did, Sister Tammy. He said, preacher, he said, I know you're straight. You preach out of the King James Bible, but there's just something I cannot swallow. I tried to change my doctrine. And I'll tell you what it is. He said, I just can't change. He said, you preach that when they're confronted with the true sinners, that they need to come and die on an altar and nobody bother them. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, you know who I was raised under, and I was in this church for 20 to 30 years, and he taught me how to proselyte people. He didn't say proselyte, but that's what he done. Talked to people on the altar, and I said, now, you had people repeat prayers? And he said, yes. And I said, you believe that that works? And he said, yes. And I said, well, I'm not the man for you. Is anybody hearing me? He said, I've done people like that. And see, I confronted him. He didn't get mad at me. We're friends. Well, Brother James, I believe he's a brother. I said, you didn't get saved that way. He said, I know. But I was taught for 20 to 30 years that we could talk to them, tell them what to say. We could repeat them in the family of God. I've done it, and I'm not changing. It's got to come from within, old man of God. That's what he said. And see, my pastor that God led me to the Redbud Missionary Baptist Church, do you know the first 4 years of his ministry, he proselyted people and repeated people with prayers? He did. But you know what my pastor does now, Brother Jason? He's preaching revival in Harlan County, Kentucky, right down in Harlan in one of them highfalutin churches. God opened the door. He got in, and he got up right behind the pulpit with tears in his eyes, and he said, I used to proselyte people. I used to tell them to repeat prayers, and he said, God corrected me. God flipped me upside down. I repented of it. I went back to all those I proselyted, and I begged them to know that to know and get it right with God. He said, I begged them and told them that I was wrong. I told Brother James, I said, Brother James, I said, you know Brother John, he was taught by the man that you was taught by. He said, I know. I said, God changed him. I'm going to report unto you right now. And your pastor is like-minded with me on this issue. I'm telling you, when you get confronted with the truth that you're wicked and rotten and wretched, and God reveals that through the man of God as he preaches the word of God and preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures, died for your sins, was buried according to the scriptures, got up on that third and appointed day. And when God, the Holy Ghost, begins to draw you, when he arrests you, what's he arrest you for? He come into this life to reprove us of all unrighteousness.
Right.
So the Holy Ghost, he arrests you for breaking the laws of God. You're a liar. You broke the laws of God. So you've got to get arrested. And then God, the Holy Ghost, convicts you.
Yep.
Proves you guilty.
Right.
Takes you to the Word of God and proves you guilty. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and let him return to the Lord. And God will have mercy on him. And God will abundantly pardon him.
Yeah.
Isaiah 55 and 7. We was all born as wild asses. Stubborn, rebellious, contrary to everything God ever stood for. The Bible says we had no fear of God before our eyes. Me and Brother Mark was talking one day about that about the Bible, and he said, I'm pretty sure it's in the book of Exodus where it took a lamb to redeem an ass. Amen. And the scripture says in Exodus 13:13, look it up. If they would not redeem that ass by that lamb, they'd break his neck. Amen. God should have broke my neck years ago, pitched my hell off, put me in hell. But John said on the river banks, behold, the Lamb of God was taken away, and I said, aloud. A lamb had to die for an ass like me. Wild ass. Had my conversation in the world. I was filthy. I was dirty. I had a sentence of death on me. And the Bible says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. When I got saved by the grace of God, not only did I experience the physical weight of sin being lifted off, I experienced the physical weight of God's wrath being lifted off. I'm telling you, when a sinner comes and really dies out to sin, amen, and repents and trusts Christ, I will assure you, if you get saved this morning, you will feel the physical weight of sin and the wrath of God being lifted off. You'll get up, you'll shout the victory. Not only will you know, I'll know it without you saying a word. I know the Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, you shall be saved, but I'll know it before you say it. Because I got the Holy Ghost. I know when somebody gets saved. Holy Ghost of God on the inside of my soul flip-flops on the inside. If you get saved this morning, I'll know it before you tell it. Oh yeah. I believe that, don't you? I believe that there's feelings in salvation. The feeling, not the F-E-E-L-I-N-G, the F-I-L-L-I-N-G. Amen. Oh, yes. Listen, Paul said in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened, made alive. God quickened me. God made me alive.
Amen.
I know it. I'm not going to doubt. You know what Paul said in Romans 6:17 and 18? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But God, we thank you we're servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. See, that doctrine of Christ has to be delivered. And it's delivered through a man, not a woman. It's delivered through a man. Amen. A God-called man, a sent man. See, the Bible says, Romans 10:13, if we shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. They quote that all the time. They go to sinners, you just call upon his name. But they're forgetting verse 14. These super hyper soul winners knock on your door. Oh, do you believe Jesus died for your sin? Well, bad, got up on the third appointed day. My God. Hey, most everybody believes that. The devils believe that. And they tremble. Knock on people's door. You believe in death, burial, and resurrection? Well, yes, I do. Well, bless God, just bow your head, repeat this prayer. You're saved whether you come to my church or not. These little churches got 20, 30 people in them. Pastor gets up and brags about how he won 200, 300 people to the Lord every year, and his church gets smaller, not bigger. I got 300 saved this year. I got, for you hearing that, I got 300 saved that year, and his church is going smaller and smaller and smaller. Are you hearing me? Hey, those preachers are giving false security to folk. My son and my daughter, I taught them. I preached to them before they come out of the womb. And my son and my daughter both. And I remember one time I looked at my daughter. I said, are you saved? Eddie, she looked me dead in the face and she said, nope. I said, if you die, where are you going? She said, I'm going to hell. I said, you believe Jesus died for your sins? She said, yes, Daddy. I said, you believe that he was buried? She said, yes, Daddy. Do you believe he got up on the third appointed day? She said, yes, Daddy. I said, where are you going if you die? Hell! Brother Mark Stover, it didn't trouble her to weasel an old-fashioned revival meeting. God's way. Old man of God got up with a touch of God on him, got in the Bible, and preached the Bible. It's hard to find a preacher that'll preach the Bible. And may I say, Mount Zion, hang on to your preacher. Amen, he preaches the Bible. Oh, yeah. Got up, preached the Bible, and my daughter was sitting back in the middle of the church, Brother James, and didn't even look like she was paying much attention. And they come up around the altar to get a handshake, and the man of God was sitting next to me, and my daughter come up, and this man in the church, he hugged my daughter, and when he hugged her, she immediately broke. She jumped up in my lap. I knew what was going on. I looked at the preacher. We both were crying. You know what I done, Brother Eddie? I just picked my little daughter up and I placed her on the altar and I left her alone. My own flesh and blood! That's how stout I believe it. My son Isaac, I was preparing for a message on Sunday morning at the last church I pastored. My son come crying and he's screaming and I didn't know what was going on. Brother Mark, things just didn't feel right, so I started questioning him. I said, what's going on with you? I thought he might have done something to his mother or done something disobedient. And he kept telling me, I don't want to lie no more. That's all I could get out of him. I don't want to lie. I don't want to lie no more. And I said, well, you're going to have to get up to that altar, and you're going to have to deal business with God. And I said, I'm staying here in the back of the church, and you go talk to God. Amen. I couldn't help him. And may I say something this morning? When your children fall under old time conviction, all you can do is pray. My dear friend right here, and he'll tell you I'm telling the truth, he believes it just as stout as I do. His son was under old time conviction. I was preaching a meeting, and I wasn't even keyed. I didn't even think his son was lost. Thought he was saved. God had me keyed in on another little girl. And he come to me, he said, Dax, I'm telling you, my son's lost. He said, God's revealed it to me. Look at him. He's tore all to pieces. We went back to Philip Whittle's house, and he was upstairs, Brother James. He was tore all apart. And here come my dear friend that believes salvation as stout as I do. And he said, Dax, He said, you're going to have to go up there to my son. He said, I'm afraid that I'll go against what I believe. Oh, yeah? He said, I probably won't do it, but I'm just a little nervous about it. And he sent me up there. And I walked in the room, Brother Jason Faulkner. And I said, Aura, what? Before I could say what's going on, he looked at me. Holy Ghost had him broke. He was in deep agony. And all I could do, I got on my knees and I started praying. And the enemy was fighting against me. All those people downstairs are going to hear you pray. I said, bless God, I don't care. I ran back and I prayed heaven down. And before I knew it, that man was up and saved by the grace of God. That's how it happened. That's how it's going to happen. You're going to have to turn sin for yourself. You have to get in this altar. Listen, you don't need me to stick a Bible under your nose. That's what I've been preaching to you for the last 50 minutes. When God the Holy Ghost has you under old time conviction, you don't need me to go back over what I've already preached. I've already preached it to you. Why do you get a Bible and take it back when it's already done? That's the only way God's going to save you, through the preaching. I know some of you don't like this, but it's right. That's the only hope for your children and my children to get that assurance. They've got to obey that form of doctrine which was delivered them. They have to be made free from sin. Titus 3:3, for we ourselves are sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after that, after what? All that sin. After that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior towards man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us by the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He sent us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You're looking at a man that believes in lordship, salvation, son. It's only salvation there is. Heaven! I've heard preachers get up and hack it up, don't know their Bibles. They say, well, I'm believing that lordship, salvation. When I do bad, He's not my Lord. You know what I tell that crowd? If God doesn't visit you when you're doing your wicked sins, you've never been saved in the first place. Amen. Amen. He's my Lord when I'm good. He's my Lord when I'm bad. Amen. He blesses me when I'm good, and He blisters me when I'm bad. Amen. He's my Lord when I'm in the will of God, and He's still my Lord when I'm out of the will of God. Amen. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my all. Hey, when you get saved, He just don't become your Savior. He becomes your Lord and Savior. And I'm not being mean. These preachers get up, they don't know what they're talking about. Oh, after you've been saved, you need to come up here, make the Lord of your life. You don't know Bible, friend. I know it's getting quiet. I'm going to clear it up for you. I'm going to clear it up for you. When you get saved by the grace of God, He becomes your Lord and He becomes your life. Amen. Is that Bible? Amen. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall appear with Him in glory. 1995, He become my life.
Yep.
1995, He become my Lord. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart. That's what these jack-legged preachers are meant. They're dealing with your mind. They're giving you false security. They're not dealing with your heart because they don't have enough power to blow a fuzz off a peach. They can't preach you into an altar because they need preached in themselves. They have a form of godliness. And they deny the power thereof. You need assurance, friend. You need something that'll do you when you're dying. Heaven! You need something, amen, when you're on your deathbed, that you can shout out of here.
Amen.
My Lord and my God and my life. The psalmist said, Brother Mark, that in my day of languishing, the Lord's going to make my bed. Amen. I'm so assured of my salvation. David said in Psalm 48 verse 14, for this God is our God forever and ever. He'll be our guide even unto death. Amen. Solomon said the wicked is driven away in their wickedness, but the righteous have hope in his death. I know some of you is getting quiet because I preach some things you don't agree with. But everything that I've preached to you this morning, I can back it up, and it's in the Word of God. Oh, yeah. When you get saved, if you don't become a new creature, you're a phony, you're a fake. And it's so perilous, the reason it's so dangerous, because most of the preachers nowadays that are in the pulpit, they've got a form of godliness, and they deny the power thereof. And you know what the power is? It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that must be believed from the heart, not the mind. We live in a day and a time where most independent Baptist churches, hey man, listen, and I am one, my God. Hey man, they've turned it into Baptist rosary. One, two, three, repeat after me. One, two, three, repeat after me. One, two, three, repeat after me. That will not help you when you're dying. That old song, do you sing that song, Jason? Brother, I didn't get it that way. Don't you sing that? You sing that. I didn't sign my name on a card. Brother, I didn't get it that way. I didn't shake a preacher's hand, amen, and repeat a prayer after a preacher. I didn't get it that way. I got it on my knees in agony. I was in despair. I was poor. I was wretched. And I cried. And God heard my cry. You're going to get saved this morning because you're going to cry out. This poor man cried. The Lord heard him. Saved him out of all his troubles. Psalm 34, verse 18. It's still in effect today. The Lord's still nigh to them that have a broken heart. And save his trust, be of a contrite spirit. It's still in your King James Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, that work of repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. That's still in that Bible. And repentance is still demanded before you believe on Christ. God demands it. God's not willing that you perish. I don't know why God keeps bringing me over here. Amen. God's not willing that you should perish. But God wants you to come to repentance. Acts 11, 18. Then God hath granted repentance unto the Gentiles. If God's granting you repentance right now by his goodness, son, I'd take advantage of it right now. It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. I'm assured of my salvation, Brother Jason. Jesus said in John 14:4, but whosoever drinketh this water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He said in John 5:24, quoted it last night, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that has sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's eternal security! John 5:39, search the scriptures, for them you think you have eternal life, they are they which testify of me. John 6:47, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Verse 48, I am that bread of life. John 6:53, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the man, drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him at the last day. John 6:65, some of my favorite scriptures right here. I mean, Brother Mark, I mean, these are precious scriptures to me. John 6:65 and following. And he said, who said? Jesus. Therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given to him of my Father. Read in your King James Bible, John 6:66, which is the number of man. And it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus, with mercy and compassion and grace, looked at his 12, hand-picked. And one of them he picked was a devil from the beginning. I ain't arguing with you. He said he was a devil from the beginning. And when he died, he went to his own place. He didn't go to heaven. Oh, he went to his own place in hell. Somebody say amen right
amen.
There.
Amen.
Looked at his 12, Brother Mark, and he said, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Hast the words of eternal life. And he said, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living. How did he know that for sure? Because the Lord said in the book of Matthew, Peter, flesh and blood's not revealed it unto you, but the Holy Ghost of God. How do I know that he's the God of glory? He's the one and true and living God, because by God, the Holy Ghost. The third part of the Godhead. That's right. The third part. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He said, we believe in her for sure, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Some of my favorite scripture, John 10:27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And he said in verse 30, me and my Father, mark it down in your little black book, we are one. Yeah!
Absolutely.
Do you have assurance of salvation? Have you really fell out with sin and fell in love with the Lord? See, I fell out with sin and fell in love with him because he was in love with me first. Through Christ. Some of the most quoted scripture. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 25 words in John 3:16. And I don't believe, and I know I've preached this before, maybe here. Some of you probably already heard it from another preacher. But there's 25 words in John 3:16, and you've got 12 words, then you got the Son, and then you have 12 words. He's right in the middle of the verse, and that's not a coincidence, because Luke said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen, I have assurance of my salvation. It's in Christ. David said in Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, my staff, they comfort me. I'm going. I'm going through death, but I'm not going to die alone. What's that, preacher? Dear saint of God, just preached your funeral 2 weeks ago when the church I pastored, Noah, turned on me. That 83-year-old woman stood with me, treated me like a grandson. And I was with her through her dying days. And she was on her bed languishing. And she got so bad she was going, how's it going to be with you when you're on your bed languishing? See, the Lord was with her, comforting her every step of the way. But when it comes time for you to... Where are you going to go when you take your last? Where are you going? Only a Bible-believing Christian knows where they're going when they die. Where are you going? Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand upon the earth in the latter day. He knows more than a lot of preachers know, don't he? Amen. That's what Job said. I ain't arguing with you. He said, those skin worms devour my body. He said, yet in my flesh, I'm going to see God. Hey, listen, I'm about done. I know some of you want me to be done. But God's still dealing with hearts. You know what Job said in Job 14:10? He said, man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man dieth and giveth up the ghost. And where is he? Noah, you and my son, you're young. You guys are both athletic. There's these young kids. but you look like you're at the prime of your life, but my son doesn't even realize that he's wasting away every day. You're wasting away. Man's done! You're done! You're wasting away right now! And man's going to give up the ghost! And where is he? Only a Bible-believing Christian knows where he's going when he dies. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. John said, I know where I'm going. I quoted it last night, 1 John 5:13. These things are written to you, believe in the name of Christ, that you may know that you have eternal life. Peter knew where he was going. He said, the Lord has showed me shortly. I'm putting off this tabernacle. Where are you going when you die? You say, preacher, a man can't know that he's going to heaven after this life is over. I beg to differ. You can go to your deathbed with full assurance that Christ will guide you across the river. You don't have to fear. You don't have to fret. Because Paul assured Timothy in verse 7 in chapter 1, look in your King James Bible. For God, and God's closing right here. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. We'll comment on those four words. God has not given us the spirit of fear. David said in Psalm 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord, heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. John said in 1 John chapter 14, he said, perfect love casteth out fear. Fear hath torment. He that fears not made perfect in love. He's not given us the spirit of fear, Sister Tammy. He's given us the spirit of power. Ephesians 3 and 20, now to him that's able to exceedingly abundant, but all we ask in that according to the power that worketh in us. Giving us that love. Romans 5 and 5, and hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. He loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And he's given me a sound mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How's it going to be with you when you come to die? We've been in church for 2 hours. Over 12,000 people have left this life. And most of them left in fear. But you don't have to leave this life in fear. You don't have to leave this life with no regrets. You can leave this life as the great apostle Paul. He kept the faith that he kept, the doctrines that God revealed unto him in the backside of the desert. Amen. The revelations that God revealed to that man, the doctrine, the direction, the discipline, the destiny of the church, he kept the faith. He told the line. He did not keep back nothing that was profitable unto any man. He kept the faith. Not only did he finish the course, but he finished his course with joy. That's what he said in the book of Acts. He said, I don't count any of these things. They don't deter me. They don't stop me. He said, I've got one thing in mind. I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm pressing towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. He finished right, friend. How to finish right? Finish with your assurance in your Redeemer. Finish with the right attitude. Get in the fight. Stay in the fight. I told Brother James and Sister Tina and Lily and Lies and Amen and Logan not to retreat and not to surrender. Brother James, you and your wife and children, you keep growing in that book and you start preaching and naming sin and don't generalize stuff like other preachers do, you're going to put your family right in the fire. When you start calling sin, sin, and naming sin, and when you get in a church and you start pastoring the way God tells you to pastor, you're going to bring hell against you and your family. But don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Call your pastor. Call people together, and we'll pray hell out of the church. Hey! When all hell comes against you, Brother Jason, don't give up, friend. You got a good woman there. And she stood by your side. She loves you. I know why she gets a little sideways when people come against her man. She loves him. No wonder she's wanting to crawl, put the calls into some of you because of the way you treat her man. Oh, yeah, she's shaking her head. You know you've disrespected him. But you know what? I can say about Brother Jason and Sister Tammy, it's getting real, real. It's getting real, real right now. The more that they love you, the less you love them, but they're counting it a joy. Amen. Paul said, I'll give everything I got. He said, I'll spend everything for you. And the more I love you, the less you love me. But it's all right. I'm going to finish with joy. Hallelujah. Brother James, the more that you and your wife deposit into people, your pastor will tell you, my friend sitting on this pew, you get wore out sometimes. You do everything you can do to help people and love people. And the more you love them, the less they love you. And if you ain't careful, Brother James, you're going to find yourself. Now listen, I don't know why I'm preaching to you again. If you ain't careful, Brother James, you're going to find yourself shipwrecked. You're going to find yourself broken, busted, and out of the will of God. Right. Now, how many God-called men, and I'm not no preacher. I ain't much of a preacher. You know how many God-called preachers preach circles around me? You know what they're doing right now? They're doing nothing. They burn out, and they burn up, and they've got fed up, and I can understand why. I can understand. But you know what happened, Brother James? They took their eyes off Jesus and got it on self and got it on others. What happened last night was great. Laying hands on you and your wife saying she'll go anywhere with you and your children willing to go. But God's going to try you, friend. And I want to exhort you one more time and tell you, listen, get in that book, preach sound doctrine, start naming sin, living right, living holy. Listen, you can't preach against sin if you're living in it. Old time preacher said, he said, most preachers wouldn't preach against snakes if they were wrapped around their neck. You know why I can preach against sin? Because I'm dealing with my sin. I'm a scumbag, man. But I'm confessing and forsaking my sin, and I'm taking all that mercy that God's given me. See, I'm going to finish right. I want to have the right attitude. I want to finish right. Who wants to finish right? Brother Joel, I want to finish right. I want to finish with the right attitude. Paul finished with the right attitude. The more he loved the people of God, the less they loved him. But you know what he done? Still prayed for them. And when they got sideways and wouldn't listen to him, he just done what the Bible said to do. Hey, man, he didn't treat them like an enemy. He admonished them like a brother, broke fellowship with them, and turned them over to Satan. Listen, we buttercup people in their sin. And Paul wouldn't do it. He'd break fellowship with you. He'd finished right. Brother Jason, I know. With all your heart, you want to finish right. I want to finish right. So I'm the Lord's done. And death will seal what and who you really are. His assurance was in his Redeemer. His attitude was right. And his award was going to be received. Because he worked and he labored for God. And this is the greatest two scriptures that I can close this message up with. And then your pastor give me liberty to give the altar call. If he didn't, I'd have turned it back to him because he told me to preach, but he told me to preach and give the altar call. So I'm going to follow the leadership of the pastor. Say amen right there. But I'm closing up with this. 15 chapter Corinthians, verse 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, what's it therefore? In light of the fact that we're victorious. He said, let me quote Matthew 16, please. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's go back to Corinthians. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord.